Welcome to episode 14 of Digital Outbox. Hello, and it's Saturday afternoon, and it's Ian again. Joining me this week is a very tired Shaquille who's just got out of bed. Hello, Shaquille.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
We are definitely the afternoon.
And there's a third voice. He's back.
I'm back.
Slightly hungover.
A little bit delicate.
Massively hungover. It's Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hello there.
So today might be a bit of an odd show, I think.
I think we need your help in here.
I think you're stuffed. You're relying on me to do anything like that. We'll crack on. First item is Sony teams up with Google Chrome. Chris, you want to take us through that?
Yep, so Google have struck a deal with Sony to include their browser on some of their hardware. I think it's in America only at the moment and only on some VAIO machines. But yeah, so they're not just Microsoft Internet Explorer, it's going to be Google Chrome on, and it all seems like a very good idea. So hopefully it will mean that Chrome gets a bit of a bigger market share, and obviously with Chrome being a pretty compliant and a very fast browser, I think it's good all around for everyone.
So do you use Chrome as your default browser?
Yeah, Chrome is the browser I use daily, other than when I'm doing browser checks, you know, as a web developer. But yeah, Chrome is my personal first choice.
And I guess, Shaquille, you're yours in Safari at home.
Safari at home for work. Ascent and Explorer 7, I'm afraid, at the moment.
Okay, so one of the issues that people don't know about is Chrome's not out for Mac yet. Mm-hmm. But it looks to be very close. You can get daily builds, and
it's in beta. Is that right?
It's not enough. I don't think it's beta yet. They did a developer preview, I think, back in June, and it was fairly rough and ready. But if you go to the Chromium blog, or if you look at, and I'll put a link in the show notes, build.chromium.org/buildbot/snapshots, you can actually get the daily builds of Chrome, and Chrome for Mac looks very feature complete, and it's crashing a lot less. Just, and I'm not trying it every day. I'll download it maybe once every couple of weeks just to see what changes are there.
I have to say on PC, I found it pretty stable. I've heard reports of other people finding that it does crash a bit, but I haven't had personal experience of that. And I was quite surprised at how low the share was. It's only 3%, but then it's only been out a year.
It was a year old. I can't remember if it was Wednesday or Thursday.
But Microsoft still have 2/3 share of the browser market, which is, you know, still huge amounts. So there's still a long way to go.
Definitely. O2 Broadband hit the news this week. So there's a security issue with some of their routers, which will affect me and Shaquille, seeing as we're O2 users.
Fantastic.
Indeed. So one of the O2 users has discovered a security problem, and it affects wireless box 2 and 3, which are rebadged Thomson routers. And basically, through this security issue, an external hacker can get access to your details and then your home network. So he tried to raise this with O2 because he realised he'd stumbled on quite a serious problem. And it got in a bit of an email war, I guess, with the help desk, saying there's not an issue as long as you set it to WPA2 and all the kind of usual guff that a help desk will tell them. But he finally got hold of it by getting in touch with the press and also through B. So B actually raised it up with O2 on his behalf, and now O2 have acknowledged the issue and are trying to work on a fix with Thomson. So pretty serious, because I think a lot of people will just be using these default routers that they've got sent out.
Yeah. I don't know how you use yours, but I've actually got a separate router between the O2 wireless box and my computers.
So you're just using O2 as like a bridge, really, to the...
Yeah, the O2 is just acts like the modem, and then my D-Link wireless router acts as the actual router with the firewall and everything built into that. So, but I can imagine most people just use the O2 wireless box as it is. You know.
Yeah, so that's all I'm doing. I have been tempted to maybe just switch over to using the modem and maybe get like either the Apple one or get an N-Link. Yeah. But I've left it just now. So one thing you can do, you can enable authentication on the router's HTTP configuration interface, and by doing that mitigates the risk of an attack. So again, I'll put full instructions in the show notes, and I'll link through to this this guy's site that found this issue. eBay, we were discussing 3-4 weeks ago, and they've sold the majority of Skype, Chris, yeah?
Yeah, so they've sold 65% to a group of private investors, which surprisingly valued it at more than eBay bought it for. So they've actually made some money on this.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. Seeing as everyone thought they would sell it at a loss, but, you know, obviously gaining in the long run by not losing out. But, yeah, so they're still holding on to a bit of it. And it just seems like that, you know, Skype's now got a home where it actually belongs. So everyone was a bit surprised, or, you know, confused why eBay got it in the first place. Never really came to fruition, but they've done what they're good at now and they've sold it. hopefully it secures the future of Skype. That's what we're all hoping anyway.
And hopefully we'll actually see a bit more innovation. I feel that while eBay's actually had ownership of it, they've not really done very much compared to what they did maybe in the first 2-3 years.
Do you not?
It's interesting to know what else you can do with it, though.
Well, I'm looking at it, things like, you know, if you could share video amongst 3, 4, 5 people, etc., and, you know, do a bit more. I'm sure the screen sharing's come in recently, and I don't know what it's like in the PC, but in the Mac, it works pretty well. So I'm sure there's more they can do.
Yeah.
Windows Mobile, we've talked about recently. I think when we were discussing iPhone and how we all like our iPhones and Microsoft, I think the last time we talked about it, Microsoft were talking about 6.5 this year and 7 next, but they've now got a release date for 6.5.
Yep, so they're going to release 6.5 on quite a number of different handsets on the 6th of October. Under the Windows Phone kind of overarching brand, but yeah, first from the first sort of screenshots I've seen, it looks interesting.
Yeah, and when Sony Xperia confirmed this week that it will be launched running 6.5 as well. But the only little one, I guess this was me just being a bit of a snider, was that I picked up on a comment from, there was a Sony Ericsson rep admitted that they were maybe slightly disappointed with what Windows Mobile 6.5 is. But I think we already knew that by the fact they're saying 6.5 now and 7's coming along next year, and they'll be running both definitely at the same time.
This is definitely a stopgap fix, or it seems like that way. I mean, they seem to have done a good job. I mean, it looks nice. They're obviously going down for the touch interface rather than stylus based. So it's going the right direction, and hopefully, you know, it's going to be a step on.
Definitely. Same with Microsoft. They can still sell Word, which is good for them.
They're joyous. I'm sure they're pretty happy about it. But yeah, so we again reported a few weeks back about the ruling in Texas that they weren't allowed to sell Word in the USA. Obviously, they've appealed this, and the current situation is they've got a stay of that judgment, so that they can still sell Word, basically, until the appeal's heard in September. So we'll see where it goes. But yeah, they can still sell Word at the moment.
Which is obviously good news for everybody, I think.
I don't think, well, yes. There you go. I'm having trouble talking. It's fine.
Oh, bless. Right. Yeah. We did a Snow Leopard show through the week. But we still have some time for Apple news. There's always time for Apple news. So, Shaquille, Apple event has been finally confirmed for next week.
Yes.
September 9th.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going to happen?
I doubt we will see the iTablet, which some people are hoping to see.
Mm. Have you named this now to iTablet? Because I've not heard any reports on a name.
It's now officially called iTablet. Shaky has registered the domain, yeah. And we'll make all monies from it from now on.
So you just watch yourself there. I think it's all mostly going to be around the iPod, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. Everybody's waiting for the iPod Touch just to see what they actually do with it.
I think having the camera on the back is a big thing, because that's going to help them sell even more iPods, because there's so many apps out there now that use the camera in sort of innovative ways, so I think it'll be really, really good.
And that seems pretty much a stick-on. Mm. There was some shots through the week from a whole lot of different suppliers with cases. And this seems to be the way of confirming what Apple are about to bring out, because the case manufacturers are starting to leak out their cases early.
I wonder what sort of camera it's going to be, though. Is it going to be the 3GS camera, or is it going to be the old 3G camera?
I would have thought the 3GS one. I can't see any reason why not.
Yeah,
I would have thought 3GS or in excess of that.
If they turn around and put in that 2 megapixel one, I think that would be an absolute shocker.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, fair enough. You're not getting. I mean, there's no reason to. In fact, there's no reason not to even put something higher in if they wanted to. But I would expect a 3GS.
Yeah, and in the past, the iPods seem to have like a slightly faster processor than the iPhones.
Yeah. So the iPhone, I think, because iPhone came out first, and then they brought out the iPod Touch, yeah. It had a slightly better processor. 3GS again trumped that. So it wouldn't be a surprise to see, you know, an upgrade in the processor as well.
Hmm.
The general feeling, though, is it's going to be an incremental upgrade. It's not going to be a massive step. Is that the feeling?
It seems to be. I mean, I don't think they're going to change the form factor in any way. And I think that would be really. I think it would be incredibly difficult for developers as well.
Yeah.
You know, at the moment they do have a bit of a luxury in that they know what they're developing against hardware wise. I think if there was a change in, like, you know, form factor, screen resolution, I think that would cause real issues.
Well, it mucks up all of the It mucks up all of the accessories that people have bought as well, doesn't it?
Definitely. So I don't think that'll change too much at all. It seems to be everybody's assuming, or everybody's making the connection, that Rock Band Beatles comes out on the same day, and it's the 9th and 9th and 9th, so everybody's expecting some sort of Beatles on iTunes or some sort of iPod Beatles. Any thoughts on that?
Personally, I don't really care. I'm not a huge Beatles fan, and it doesn't really bother me in the slightest at all.
Mm. Okay, that's fair enough.
Full stop. Yeah.
There was another little rumour through the week, which then got thrown out,
mm-hmm.
that there may be an Apple TV update, and I think that was just based on an analyst looking at stock levels. So stock levels for iPods, whether it's Classic or whatever, have all dropped, and seemingly Apple TV has as well.
I mean, I would really like if there was an Apple TV update, but I don't know. I mean, if they're sort of like basing the whole show on their iPods and music, etc., then, you know, I just find it a bit surprising if they then at the end say, oh, okay, by the way, we have some Apple TV update. There might be like a software update, you know, but as far as like a hardware update, I'm not too sure about that.
Mm.
It does seem that everyone's scratching around looking for what's going to be the big announcement. I mean, it could just be that they are just announcing new iPods and whatnot. So.
Well, the thing from 2-3 weeks back was a new iTunes, and I'd certainly like to see, you know, especially now I'm in Snow Leopard, you know, so it'd be nice to get a proper 64-bit fast version of iTunes. Not that I'm saying iTunes is slow, because I'm sure I would have to disagree with myself from 3 weeks ago. But it'll be interesting just to see that there was a whole lot of rumours about social, you know, a social network that Apple was building or starting to leverage Twitter and Facebook, Last.fm.
Yeah, they've got enough official announcements based on, you know, music alone that they're going to be able to fill a show with it.
I mean, going by the past few keynotes that they've had, there's always been like expectations of they're going to do this or they're going to do that. But at the end of it, they always do like what they say originally. Like if the show is supposed to be about new MacBooks, then the show is just about new MacBooks. They don't really announce anything big.
No.
I know in the past, you know, well, Steve Jobs used to say, oh, one final thing, then yeah, there was something extra, but they haven't done that for a long time now, have they?
No. I'm actually trying to think back to when the last one was, and it's a long time ago, and usually then it's still within the same context of what that actual event's about.
Mm. I mean, if there is an iTunes update, and I know in the few weeks back there were rumours about sort of like people that supported Blu-ray naming the sort of in the code. So I wonder if it is, then maybe the Apple TV update could be a bit more viable, because if they maybe add a Blu-ray drive to it, that'd be really good. Certainly.
I just can't see it. I just can't see them doing
it. It's
that.
Just too much, isn't it? It's like, it'll be too much to.
I mean, for me, the Apple TV would have to, you know, a really big increase in specs and probably maintain the price, if not try and come down a bit. Especially when you compare it to one, you know, a games console.
Has the Apple TV been popular? I've not really kept up to it.
I would really say not.
No.
Apple keep on calling it a hobby. I think that's what Steve Jobs termed it at one of the keynotes, that it was a hobby for them. They could see it as some sort of emerging market, And I mean, they released it, and then they released a second version. They've improved the software on it, and people have hacked it to make it a lot more useful, so they can actually put their own codecs on, etc. But it's an interesting one, but I still think if I had to choose, even though it probably cost me double the amount, I would get a Mac Mini instead.
Yeah.
And use that as a media centre rather than an Apple TV.
Yeah.
Which would give you more flexibility as well, I guess.
Yeah. And I'd really like to, I'd almost want to see them merge those two products.
Yeah, I think definitely. They seem to have like two separate products which have like similar functionality, and it's like you think, what's the
And
point?
There's an overlap.
Yeah. I mean, one way they could improve it, I mean, if they're like saying it's a hobby for them, they could add a Blu-ray drive and maybe add like introduce the App Store for it, but have like apps specifically made for like big TV screens, you know, and make it almost not like a fully fledged console, but almost like a media machine, so you can play all your movies and stuff on it, and you can play like simple, well, not simple, but you know, like basic games.
Well, even when if you look at the iPhone as a games, or the iPod as a games platform, so it's massive
it's
now.
It's becoming more sophisticated as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And we're seeing more and more media players as well, you know, specific bits of hardware that sit under your TV and deal with streaming across your network. So it probably, that sounds like quite a sensible direction to go in, really.
Mm.
Yeah, it just seems, I don't know, it just seems strange. They've been quite, I feel they've been slow with this.
Yeah. I think maybe they're looking at the market, because like Chris said, there are lots of other media streaming services out there, but no one's cracked it, so there's not really a perfect solution. You know, like the iPhone is like really good, it can do everything that you might expect from it, but as far as media streaming goes, no one seems to have cracked that properly yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Apple could do a good job, so let's get on them. So let's get them doing it.
One last fanboy thought. Will Steve Jobs turn up at the keynote?
Yeah, of course he will. He's got to. It's his job description, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's about time that he did made an appearance just for, you know, his own sake. And if he's already been back at work for a few months, then there's no reason why he won't make an appearance.
I just wondered if he would only come back for like the tablet or some massive big launch.
It would be good, but I don't know. I'd imagine he won't be like presenting it, you know, it'll be like Phil Schiller or some other
good old Phil.
Yeah.
Same with iPhone. One of the annoyances for a lot of people is it doesn't run background applications. And a story just broke today about Looped, which is one of these social networking apps where you can see where your friends are geographically. You know, fire up the app, and once you're in the app as well, it reports back your location. So the story originally broke that it was actually found a way around, it found a way around background running on the iPhone. But it turns out what they've done is a deal with AT&T, where they're going to pick up the stream that AT&T has of locations. So we talked about this a few weeks ago with, you know, mobile phones are always reporting back, you know, your location. So Looped have done a deal where they're going to tap into that stream and report back, so you don't need to actually have the Looped app running on your iPhone. So it's not really anything around cracking the background applications at all. The interesting thing, it's 5,000 users on an invitation only trial, and if you like it and want it, you're going to have to pay $4 a month to AT&T, which for me just seems absolutely barmy.
Yeah. I'd need a good app and a good reason to want to do that, I'm sure. Someone will come up with something that might make it worthwhile, but not just as a curiosity.
I mean, this might sound a bit sad, but I don't really have that many friends I would care to know where they are at any point in time.
No, definitely not.
And the other thing is, if they're like not using the stream from AT&T, how accurate is that going to be as far as location is concerned?
It's not gonna, I don't know. You know what I mean? Another thing I thought was, if I was one of the users invited into the trial and none of my friends are, what's the point?
Yeah.
But maybe they've thought of that. I don't know.
So I'm assuming this is for US only at the moment.
Yeah, it's US only at the moment. But I think it got a lot of press because it was, oh yeah, the background applications running on the iPhone. No, it's not.
It's not.
Anyway, so a bit of fluff. My last little story, which made my heart flutter with excitement. was that GTA China Wars, Chinatown Wars, is coming to the iPhone. No release date yet, but it seems to be a stick-on.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can't wait to play.
Is this another game that you're going to download and not really play?
No, no, I will download and thoroughly enjoy, like, all the games that I download on the iPhone.
I enjoy them for at least an hour each.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even go that far with a couple of them. Monkey Island has a lot to answer for.
See, what would be really cool is if you buy a game and if you don't like it, you could then sell it on to somebody else.
Yeah, that's...
It's not going to happen, but it would be really good, wouldn't it? It's like...
It would be nice. But even, well, I mean, even if you could do it that, even if you sold it on, the developer still got a bit of the cut. You know, because the big thing seems to be always that developers say, or especially games companies are saying, you know, the second-hand market, we don't get any cut of.
Yeah.
But if you could do something through the App Store where you could say, there's almost like an eBay App Store, you know, so I've used this app, I'm finished with it, I'm going to sell it on for 70% of the price.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand
that. It will never happen, yeah. But it would be fantastic.
It doesn't make any sense from a developer's point of view, because it's not like it's a second-hand good as in, you know, a CD that might have got scratched or whatever, and you run that risk. It's a digital product, isn't it? It's exactly the same as when you bought it new.
You bloody hungover naysayer.
Nay. Okay.
I just wanted to mention Spanish Inquisition for some reason, but never mind. Gadgets, the section that's going to wake Shaquille up from his slumber. So the first, I guess this was a big week for Sony. Lots of different things getting announced. It seems to be they're betting on 2010 for 3D. So that's across all the different product ranges, whether it's TVs, Blu-ray content, and even rumours of PS3. What do you guys think about 3D TVs then?
I think it's fantastic news, because I think it's maybe a little bit too soon, because people are just adapting to HD. And then, you know, some of the early adopters, for them, I think, even though it's been a few years since they bought like a plasma or an LCD screen, if say a 3D TV comes out next year, don't you think that's a bit too soon to then immediately sell your old HD plasma or something and buy a new TV?
Mm.
As far as I understand, there are two different sort of technologies. So there's the active 3D, which involves, you know, refreshing and flickering things in your eyes and whatnot. And then there's the passive one where it's, you know, like the old red-green colour eyeglasses that cause the 3D effect. So obviously the red-green one could happen whenever, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas the active one obviously requires a bit of technology there to help it along.
And what it seems to be, from what I read anyway, it seems to be it's the active one they're pursuing,
yeah.
But it still means you're going to be wearing glasses.
Well, I get to sell new technology then, don't
you? Well, it's a new TV, but as I understand it, you still have to put glasses on.
And I think the benefit of that one as well is you don't have to sit dead on centre. You can be, you know, at certain angles or something like that from indefinite areas of the room.
I mean, I've never seen either method to sort of comment, but I've heard that the active method is definitely better.
Yeah.
Gives you a better feel and more depth.
Obviously, the most ideal solution would be to not have any glasses at all, but I don't know whether that's technically...
I think we're a long way away.
...feasible or not.
Yeah, I don't mean to be convinced, I've got to be honest. I just think the whole thing's just that this is the next thing that we want you to spend your money on.
Yeah. I don't think it will work with, like, everything, you know. It's like some programs you just might not want to watch in 3D, but... Like,
you mean like EastEnders?
Yeah, but then again, you know, you never really know, do you, until it comes out. It's like, you might think... Because I remember, like, when HD started, I remember asking myself, like, do I want to watch everything in HD? And there might be some things I don't really care about. But now I've got HD TV, I think I want to watch everything in HD. It could be the same... Same sort of feeling with 3D.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
I've got to see it to believe it and see what it feels like, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking the content. So Sky are talking about one channel next year, but you have no idea how often there's going to be any 3D programs.
That'll be
on.
Sky Arts 3D, I bet you.
Yeah, and with maybe the odd sport.
Yeah.
You know, because they have done some demos. Sony are talking about, you know, some Blu-ray content.
And then it's definitely intriguing me enough to sort of be interested. I'd definitely, you know, if I could watch that channel or see it.
But either way, would you be prepared to buy a new TV then?
I think it would have to be depending whether I was in the market for a new TV already.
Mm. Okay, so you wouldn't actually go out and buy one?
I don't think I'd go out my way, no. Not unless I went to a store and saw something that I thought, actually, that worthwhile buying, but no, probably not.
Yeah, I feel the same. I remember a comment from E3 about somebody tried Wipeout 3D and just said it was absolutely stunning, and they couldn't go over how immersive it felt. And I must admit, that did make me think, oh, wow, that sounds good. But I can't get my head around it. It might have been Chris that mentioned this. How good is it going to be in a small screen? You know, if you've only got a 32-inch or a 40-inch screen, is that going to be good enough? Just don't know.
Again, it's going back to that debate when HD started, people were saying, oh, you need at least 50-inch to appreciate it.
Yeah. And I guess my only other little worry is, like, I'm going to be wearing glasses on top of glasses.
Glasses.
Exactly. Glasses.
You're not going to look the cool dude, are you?
Well, but hey, just need to take
maybe
a hit
you
from
can contact Tag and get him to make special 3D glasses for you.
Maybe I can.
Oh, Mr. Smug.
And, well, I guess this is me personally, because I get quite a few migraines. Am I going to get even more with this? Shaquille, you get motion flickering. Sickness. Oh. Are you going to get even more?
Can you imagine me playing Wipeout in 3D?
Oh, no. I'd love to see you playing Halo, 3D Halo for 2 minutes. Pass the sick bucket. So, same with Sony. And on games, God of War Collection's coming out. So God of War 1 and 2 on Blu-ray, 720p, and it'll be $40. So I guess about 40 quid.
So that's just God of War 1 and 2. It's not like a...
Yep.
Oh, that's... Like, I don't understand why they can't combine it with God of War 3.
Well, there was a question asked in a survey earlier this year about would people be interested on being able to play God of War 1 and 2 in high def.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, that would be fantastic. I think everybody assumed...
Yeah, exactly.
With God of War 3 coming out in 2010, I think they're saying it's March 2010, that it'll be a bundle, you know, so it'll be a special edition where you get 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But they're releasing it before Christmas.
Would you buy it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I definitely will, so...
How old are those two games now?
God of War 2 is 2 years old?
Roundabout, I'd say, yeah.
If not more...
Well, I bought it on one of those like platinum edition things when the PS3 came out because I wanted to play it. So
I want to say it's like 2, maybe 3, and I guess God of War 1's 4, maybe 5.
Yep.
Something like that.
But it interests you enough that...
Oh, yeah, the games were fantastic. I guess one of the few games on the actual Sony platform that I've thought played really well.
I remember,
really
was it you who bought it? And then you didn't really have any expectation. And actually, I remember you were down here in Peterborough, maybe, and we played it.
I think
then.
I brought it down, and I just picked it up.
And we were so impressed with it immediately.
Yeah, because we'd picked it up due to the reviews and stuff, but I was kind of like, it's on a PS2, I don't know how good it'll be, and we put it in, and it was like, bloody hell. So, staying with games, staying with PS3, Firmware 3 came out this week. What did you think, Shaquille?
Some bits were good, some bits meh. I mean, I thought it's got like a bigger look to it, hasn't it? Everything's like much bigger. The icons are bigger. The text is bigger. I like the 3D default back, not the 3D, sorry. The sort of animated background we have with the sparkly bits. That looks quite nice.
Yeah, it's okay.
One thing I wasn't too sure about is when you're like browsing through the menu, when you stop browsing, the highlighted item stays there, but everything like fades out. So you think, you know, sometimes you could like lose your position. Like if you're looking for a movie in a movie list and then everything disappears, you think, I'd like to be able to see everything that's there.
Yeah, I'd... Got to be honest, I was fairly underwhelmed. You know how they talked about that we're going to make it obvious what the new content was?
Yeah.
But it still felt it took a while to load. It was, I don't know whether it was just caching it the first couple of times, but it just didn't, I don't know, I just wasn't that impressed with it.
Yeah, I don't think it caches it. I think just like downloads it dynamically. Yeah. And that's what, I mean, I get the same as I, because that what's new appears in two different menus, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And anytime you go into one or the other, it's there's like a slight delay before it pops up.
So the only thing that I did like, and I had to actually switch off and switch on again to get the option, was iPlayer.
Yeah.
And the content was a bit soft, you know, resolution-wise, but it works. And and iPlayers on the PS3.
Yeah, I mean, what I was really hoping for would be like a proper app.
Yeah, it's just a browser.
It's just a browser thing. So
yeah. But it gives you an easy way of accessing it from the TV.
Yeah, true.
You know, if you're not on Virgin, so.
But I mean, don't forget, this is just like the beginning, isn't it? I think is it November time when they launch their video service. So that, yeah, that should be quite good. I think it'll add some extra value.
Definitely. So, on to Xbox. Me and Chris play quite a lot of Left 4 Dead, and you've picked up a story on the downloadable content that's to come out before Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah, so we're due a downloadable content pack in October. It sounds like a sizable update, which everyone's looking forward to. But it's going to cost money, and it's not going to cost money because Valve, the developer, wants to charge for it. But Microsoft have insisted that this content has to be charged for. So it's going to cost us, you know, near enough a fiver. And I think it's Microsoft forcing, you know, value into their marketplace. You know, they're not letting it choose its own level. They're actually forcing this, yeah, this through.
Well, the thing is for me, because I mean, it's not so much they're forcing. To me, they're just wanting to make sure there's a massive economy there. You know, even with the stuff like Avatar stuff, you know, having to pay for it now and stuff like that.
I guess it's getting people used to it and trying to say to developers as well, you know, your effort's worthwhile because then you get some extra money on top.
Yeah.
You know, if a developer wants to release it for free, then...
Exactly. It should be their choice. And they shouldn't... I mean, they did the same thing not happen to Gears of War. I'm sure they wanted to release a free download, and then Microsoft said, no, that's 800 points.
I mean, I guess it's trying to give value to the load of dross that they are trying to sell in there somewhere, but it's annoying as far as a consumer goes. So, you know, it's a free update on PC. Their developer wants to release it free, and it's Microsoft stopping. And it's, I just feel annoyed by it.
Definitely. Very annoying. Sorry, we'll still buy it.
Let me get this right. It's free on the PC, but not on the Xbox. Is that what the problem is?
Yeah, and just the Valve doesn't want to charge for it. Well, I mean, I don't know how much they are protesting, but they have come out publicly and said it's not us that's making this a charge for content. Yeah.
And Valve traditionally have always kind of said, you know, this content's going to be free or these updates are going to be free. And they've actually been, I've always thought from a publishing company's point of view, very good value. You know, if I look back at Half-Life 2 when it came out on the Xbox, the amount of content in that one game, because you get Portal, Team Fortress was there, and Half-Life plus the two episodes was there. I mean, it was
their company line is, you know, you buy the game and then we support it. And, you know, if there's content for that game, you get that as part of your original sale price.
So it's a bit of a shame. It's a bit of a shame.
Bad direction from my point of view.
Yeah. On Live, which I think we covered in the first or second podcast, finally reached public beta this week. US only, but it's still interesting that they've actually got there.
I'm amazed. I can't believe it.
Yeah. I still think they're going to be bought up by a cable firm or a Microsoft or a Sony. I can't see this becoming, you know, them becoming a platform for games. But we shall wait and see.
Yeah, well, I would say when the news, the story first broke that, you know, their technology, so they're streaming games over the internet rather than you having a console in your actual, in your lounge. But pretty much everyone at the time said this is just physically impossible to get it done without lag and without issues. You know, there's no technology out there that can compress a HD picture down the internet. But they're obviously confident enough to release it to, you know, a few people.
Oh yeah, I'm amazed. I'm absolutely amazed. But there's actually three or four companies doing this as well. It's not just on Live. So there does look like, you know, there are companies that see this as this is where it's going to go.
Does it interest you at the moment?
Well, yeah, because I mean, if I could get to a point where I don't have to worry about what platform I'm on, or whether I've got a PC or Mac, or what spec that I've got, you know, I just fire up a browser and I start playing a game. And I guess
if they can do it with game technology, then there's plenty of other technologies they can do it for.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if that sort of stuff, if it takes off, would kill off Nintendo, if you know what I mean. Because they only make games for their own hardware, don't they? I mean, would they do a Sega and then turn into a software company only?
I don't know. I mean, the interesting thing will be, you know, I can see certain games I can see it working fine for, but for things like racing games, first-person shooters, where, like, timing is really crucial, I just have my doubts. I just can't see how our current infrastructure can support it.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sure, yeah, there's going to be turn by turn or some sort of strategy games which aren't just that millisecond.
No, so I can see something like a Warcraft being fine with this.
Mm.
You know, when there's a, if everybody's getting a small, you know, pretty much can't see that lag, that's fine. But I mean, first person shooters, when it's Halo again, shotgun versus shotgun, if you think you've been done by lag, it just gets very frustrating. Time will tell, and I guess it's only once we see actual real world people and whether it actually scales. You know, I think this will be a massive test of it. Something that I guess Shaquille has been talking about more than certainly I don't know about you, Chris, is OLED screens, seeing as he's a massive HD fan.
Well, I've yet to see one in the flesh to see how nice they do look.
LG have put out the biggest so far, which is a massive 15-inch.
Wow. I think that's bigger than the previous big screen that was 11-inch by Sony. So
the bit I couldn't believe, $2,000 for a 15-inch screen.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, because, you know, like, was it last week or maybe the week before we said that Sony have been holding back on OLED screens because of the financial losses they've been suffering recently.
Mm.
So, you know, if they had brought out something this year, and considering that this 15-inch is $2,000, you know, realistically, you'd want at least a 32-inch screen at home. How much would that have cost? Would probably be about $5,000 or $6,000.
Yeah. Nobody's going to pay that.
No.
No.
Nobody's
do we know anything about whether it's fundamentally just an expensive technology to do, or whether, you know, when it does get into mass production, it will come down?
Oh, well, just like anything, you know, in the beginning, it's going to be expensive, but then, you know, we'll come down.
Can it get to the £500 that we're at now?
For because I think when plasmas first came out, they were like $6,000, $7,000 sort of price mark, and that was for like small 42-inch screens, I think. So yeah, no doubt will come down. But now that, you know, some people are saying next year could be the year of OLED, but then now we've got 3D as well. So it's like, is this going to turn into like another sort of format war?
Have either of you seen an OLED screen?
Not in the flesh, no, just on the internet.
Well, it also makes you think, how expensive is a 3D TV going to be?
Mm.
You know, if this is a premium they've got on what is allegedly a better looking technology, and the screens are far thinner and it's a lot more colours and all that good stuff, what's 3D going to cost?
Yeah. I think technically, or as far as like the screen goes, it'll be the same sort of technology, isn't it? It's going to be like a glass screen or some sort of plastic screen, but it'll be like obviously displaying two sort of images slightly apart, or however their active 3D technology was, but it's going to have to cater for each eye and different angles, so it's obviously there's going to be a lot more going on in the background.
Active 3D could just be simply a TV that corresponds to a certain refresh rate, and, you know, and it's quick enough to do that.
Yeah.
Finishing up on our gadgets is Nokia, which we spoke about last week. So they've launched or announced a new phone, the X6. Don't know if any of you guys had a look at that.
I didn't. I think I came across it. I just didn't look in any particular depth.
Yeah, same here.
It's got all the features of, I guess, an iPod Touch, really, or an iPhone. Hardware looks really, really nice, maybe a bit chunky. But it also includes the Ovi Store, so that should be coming out later this year. And again, just nice to see some competition finally. I just think, we've talked about before, iPhones had a really good run of almost, you know, being on top without anything touching it. I guess that's, what, a year and a half?
Yeah.
More than that, isn't it?
I mean, it's amazing that people have been shooting at the iPhone for so long and they've still not got it yet.
2.5, actually. Yeah. It's 2.5 years.
Yeah, they're still not there.
You know, it's a long time.
But there's a lot of movement, you know, that you see so much activity when you're looking through sort of tech blogs and stuff. The amount of hardware and software being released is pretty incredible, to be honest.
Yeah. And just following up on our booklet story last week, it is around about $800 or 570 euros, which is a massive price for what does look nice hardware, but that's just crazy.
Yeah, I've seen now hands-on pictures and stuff, so that, you know, it's not just rendered, it is real. And it does look nice. It looks a very nice bit of kit. And it's going to depend on what kind of package it comes with, because I assume they're going to subsidise it, you know, with bolt on.
I think that's the expectation.
It could be interesting depending on what kind of deals they come up with.
Indeed.
Certainly a good looking bit of kit.
And we're now on to picks. So I know, because Shaggy was just out of bed and Chris is too drunk, yep. that I'm the only guy with a pick.
Yeah.
And even then, my pick's fairly a fairly obvious one. I think we've all had busy weeks, and I think Snow Leopard took up a bit of me and Shaq's time through the week. But I'll just rattle through my pick of the week, which is Remember the Milk, which I don't know if you guys use or know of, but it's basically a to-do manager. The thing I really like about Remember the Milk is that I can access it in a browser from anywhere. So home, work, internet cafe, friend's house, and also on my iPhone. And I just find it a really, really good way of keeping on top of what I need to do. And the fact that it's cloud-based just makes all the difference. Now, one of the things that I have actually done, they did release an iPhone app, and it's quite sneaky because they released it for free. But you can only use it for 14 days for free if you actually want to use it on the iPhone, or actually use the iPhone app. You need to join their pro service, which is $25 a year. Which in the face of it is, you know, some people might think, you know, a lot of money just for a to-do reminder, or a to-do manager, sorry. But it's just I use it religiously. Everything I need to do gets thrown in there. And
I also use it in, I only use it on a very basic level. So I literally chuck in the tasks I want to get done and I just list them all. Can you view the website through your browser on the iPhone?
You can, but it's not as quick as using the app. And the app's got some really nice things, like, you know, just even picking a date is really easy to do. Swiping it complete, so you just swipe complete. You know, there's just some really nice things on the app that I wouldn't want to be without, you know, if I was just using the web browser.
So you do subscribe to that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's certainly a nice little tool, and it, like you say, it's great that it's accessible everywhere. I say I don't use half the features it's got. I literally have it as a list of things I've got to get done.
Yeah, I do try and... I've got some different lists set up, and I do try and put context against things so I can figure out, you know, what I can do. One thing I don't actually use with it is locations. So there's a whole load of stuff you can do around locations. So you can say, you know, once I'm in this geographical location, here's my to-dos I need to get done now. So if you had things that were for, you know, shopping at B&Q, you could actually generate your shopping list. But I'm not that sophisticated at all. And I guess maybe in context, Shaq, I think you use Things, don't you?
Well, I think I did create an account for Remember the Milk, but I haven't used it. And it's not for any particular reason other than the fact that when you recommended this to me a while back, I was at that time trying out Things for the Mac.
Mm.
And at that time it was in beta mode. And I mean, I could sort of say that's my pick for this week, but I'm not going to say that because I don't really use it that much. And so, yeah, Things is, again, it's similar to Remember the Milk. And it costs about $50 to buy on the Mac. Got a really nice interface, similar to sort of iTunes layout. And I think it does pretty much the same sort of stuff. The only thing is it's not browser-based, so you can access it anywhere else. But there is an iPhone app that you can buy.
Yep. And I think that's the difference for me. If I could get it on,
yeah.
If I could get it on a web browser somewhere, I think Things as an interface and actually the iPhone app looks really, really good.
But I mean, the fact that you've got an iPhone, would you really need to then access it all with a browser?
It's just convenience.
Okay.
You know, if I'm sitting at work, I'm on my PC. I just want to have a browser there. Yeah. What do I need to do next? There it is. I want to add something. I don't want to keep on having to then go to my iPhone and add it in.
I mean, I must say that the iPhone app is very nice, easy to use. And when you're at home in front of your Mac or your PC, it's actually your Mac because it's a Mac-only software, it syncs automatically wirelessly. As soon as you launch both of them on the Mac and on the iPhone, they will automatically sync together. You don't have to do anything.
Right.
So that's nice.
But yeah, and I mean, one other thing that the iPhone client for Remember the Milk, it now does reminders as well.
Okay.
Not reminders, what is it called? iPhone.
Push when
it
notifications. Pings you.
Push notifications, that's it. I think I'm the one that's sleepy. But yeah, it does push notifications now. So if you've put a to-do in, you put a time against it, you will get a push notification.
That,
you know,
that
10
sounds
minutes,
nice, actually.
20 minutes before the to-do. I just find that really handy.
Yeah.
So what I'll probably do is, when I do the little review on the blog, I'll maybe put in a little screencast of just how I use it and maybe some of the context and stuff, just to try and show some of the features off a bit more. But that involves work, so maybe not. And that's us. It's a record-breaking short podcast for the three of us.
Yep.
I think you should be drunk and or sleepy more often.
Yeah, it's obviously helped the flow a bit.
So just before we do all the kind of usual closing points, just a bit of feedback on our Snow Leopard podcast, which unfortunately Chris missed. I think it was our best podcast so far. It was great.
You were all the better for not having me there.
Oh, no, I don't know. Wait, to be honest, we missed slagging you off.
I'm glad I got my place. I know my role.
So we did have some feedback from Jim, one of our listeners, who he also got the strange message that I got about the service missing at startup. He just ignored it, and he's not had any impact at all. And doing some Googling, it looks like it's been not common, but it's certainly not been an unusual event to get this on an update. He also recommended that I should take a look at my Google settings for mail. So I'll have a delve in. I'm pretty sure I've got everything set up as IMAP, but I can go and double check to make sure everything's okay. But that was great to have some feedback, seeing as we only put it out yesterday. That's all good. If you do want to get in touch with anything we've been talking about today, then info@digitaloutbox is our email address, and our website is www.digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter, Digital Outbox, and Shaquille's going to tell us a Facebook page address.
No, forget Facebook.
You're so fickle.
Yeah.
So Chris, where can we find out more about you?
Yep, so I'm on Twitter on Cheesy UK, and my blog is chrishutchinson.org.uk.
And Shaquille?
My blog is at shaquillenaim.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Shaqen.
So I'm trusting that the pair of you are not going to be mentioning Big Brother anymore.
No, what are we going to talk about on Twitter? Mm.
Well, I don't think Shaquille's going to use Twitter and probably until Celebrity Big Brother next year.
I don't think I'll be watching that at all.
Oh,
unless Davina McCall is on it, because I think she just...
What was she doing with her hair?
I think she's overrated. Oh. Everybody's like, oh, Davina. And she just comes across as really smug and arrogant and not really knowing what to do. Okay, but we don't want to talk about Big Brother now, so forget it. But her interview with Lisa was atrocious. I think she let her get away with murder there. That's my theory.
I quite like her. Anyway.
Yeah, that's because... she's got boobies.
And I think that's us.
Yeah.
So, thanks for listening, and hopefully you'll tune in again next week. Ta-da.
See you next time.
Rock and roll.
We made it.
Are we still recording?